VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, here on Crosstalk. I mean, every day that passes, the storyline becomes more and more horrific as to the exit of our armed services from Afghanistan. It was an exit that was directed by the commander-in-chief, President Joe Biden. I mean, their shocking information continues to be revealed daily. We're talking about lies, deception, death, abandonment, as well as leaving an arsenal behind to equip the Taliban and rogue nations against the United States and our interest. Well, joining us today, we welcome back Alex Newman. He is an award-winning international freelance journalist. Alex is also an author. He's a researcher. He's an educator, and he's a consultant. He's senior editor for The New American and contributes to other publications. He's author of books such as Crimes of the Educators, Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. He's also founder of Liberty Sentinel. And Alex, good to have you back with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's great to be with you.
Alex, the way President Biden has directed this exit from Afghanistan is a storyline that I, for one, never would think possible. The United States of America, I mean, it's an embarrassment to this superpower. But I tell you this, the nations of the world are watching with their eyes wide open as to what's going on here. One wonders, how could we be a part of such a debacle? I mean, give us your perspective on what we've seen unfold over these past few weeks.
Well, thank you, Jim. And I think what really is going on here, and I think what really needs to be understood, is that this was not an accident. Our very first Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Defense James Forrestal, who was installed by Harry Truman, said something that was very, very important. And this was actually recorded in the autobiography of a man who had a conversation with him. And he had gone in there, this man who recorded the conversation, and he was talking to James Forrestal, and his hypothesis was that the reason we were losing so badly everywhere to the communists were taking ground everywhere and taking over more and more nations, was because of stupidity and incompetence. He figured the people in Washington, D.C. were just clueless. And the secretary, Secretary Forrestal, responded and said, "Consistency has never been the mark of stupidity. If this were merely stupidity, occasionally they would make a mistake in our favor."
Right.
And so, you know, everybody who's saying that this is the result of stupidity or incompetence, I think they're fundamentally misunderstanding something. This was carefully calculated, not by Joe Biden. I think at this point, Joe Biden is even having trouble reading his teleprompter. It's very sad. I hope people are keeping him in their prayers. It's, you know, it's quite a spectacle to behold. But his handlers, the people who are really running the federal government, the people who are really making the policy decisions. And that very much includes the highest levels of the military, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Mark Milley. I believe they planned this. I mean, I don't see how it could have been any other way. They're not incompetent. They're not dumb. In fact, they're incredibly smart. They wanted to humiliate America. They wanted to show the world that nobody should ever trust America or rely on America. They wanted to show once again, and there's a long pattern of this, that America's allies will be betrayed. They will be left to be slaughtered. America's enemies will be emboldened. They will be given massive amounts of weapons. This has been going on for generations, Jim. This is just the latest example of it. And I think the end result that we're going to see from this, and I'll summarize it just very briefly, and we can get into it as we go on in the program. We're now watching the implosion of what was called the unipolar world order, where the most powerful single entity really that dominated the planet was the U.S. government, the American empire, if you will. It's very symbolic. Afghanistan has been known as the graveyard of empires for many, many generations, going back to the British, going back to the Soviets. I mean, there's so many empires that have collapsed after Afghanistan. And we're now moving into what these globalists, these deep staters, refer to as the multipolar world order. And one of those very powerful poles will be China. So we're going to see China come into Afghanistan. I predicted this in 2014. They're going to make trillions of dollars. They're laughing all the way to the bank. America is humiliated. America is defeated. And we set the stage for a very different world going forward.
Alex, it's shocking what you say, and yet at the same time, it seems that President Biden had some knowledge. I mean, early July, and we've played the clips, I mean, he talked to the American people. He was in the press conference, but he touted, he was challenged, but then he touted how the Afghan army was so well equipped to keep the Taliban under control. He talked about their large numbers and their training, and he maintained that no one told him otherwise. Yet it's been revealed that he received a cable in June from officials in the State Department indicating that there was a likelihood that the Taliban would step over, would rather take over quickly once the U.S. pulled out of the end of their time there, end of August. And that's not all. But now we have this transcript of a July 23rd phone call with President Biden, the former Afghani president, Ghani. And Biden tried to pressure him to change the perception of what was going on in the country. He knew it was collapsing, Alex.
Yes, he did. And this was deceit. This was basically a lie foisted on the American people. Now, the writing's been on the wall that the Taliban were going to take over Afghanistan again for a decade. I mean, going clear back to the Obama administration, they basically made it clear, look, we're now talking to the Taliban. We know they're going to end up in charge again. So the writing's been on the wall. So Biden really had a couple of options. He could have continued the war indefinitely, which would have been, you know, continuing a mistake. It would have been a tragedy. There was no purpose for that. He could have prepared a sensible plan to exit where we don't abandon Bagram Air Force Base in the middle of the night when nobody's paying attention and leave those guys to panic, where we destroy whatever weapons, something like $85 billion worth of helicopters, airplanes, attack vehicles, rocket launchers, grenade launchers. I mean, yeah. This is literally bigger than the budget of many NATO countries. Now, any sensible plan to withdraw from there would have said, hey, we got to make sure this doesn't fall into the hands of Islamist totalitarian barbarians who are infamous for massacring Christians, brutalizing women, raping children. And of course, they call that a cultural practice in Afghanistan. It's horrific. But any sensible plan to withdraw would have said, hey, we don't leave the military equipment there. We don't allow these kinds of scenes that we've seen all over the television for the last few days and really few weeks. But no, they chose to do this, I believe, deliberately and strategically. And when the mainstream media is showing this, I think it needs to be clear as well. They're not showing this because they suddenly became genuine journalists. They didn't suddenly get a conscience and decide to do the right thing and report the truth. This is being carefully choreographed. It's being carefully orchestrated. There was a sensible way to get out of this mistake, and then there was a tragic, humiliating, very destructive way to do it. And Biden's handlers deliberately chose the most destructive possible course of action.
Now, I find it interesting that the press secretary, Jen Psaki, I mean, she's refusing to discuss this leaked Biden phone call, but it seems to me, if my memory serves me right, Alex, that there were some impeachment charges brought against another president, a former president, upon some call he had to Ukraine that was taken out of context?
Yes, there was. And, you know, there are now many people on Capitol Hill talking about impeachment. I think that's probably a good thing. In fact, I don't view the Biden administration as legitimate in the first place. The evidence of election fraud is overwhelming. They're flagrantly flaunting the U.S. Constitution, which, of course, they all swore an oath to uphold. So I think impeachment would be a good thing. But impeachment needs to be done for the right reasons. Impeachment needs to be done because he has betrayed our enemies. He has left Americans to die. He has committed high crimes and misdemeanors. He has betrayed the American people. He is waging war on our country. He has aided and abetted the enemy in a time of undeclared war. A lot of possible charges that could be brought, and I think they should be brought. But, you know, whether Congress is actually going to move on this remains to be seen. They may well be setting the stage, Jim, and I think this may be one of the reasons why we're seeing all this negative attention on Joe Biden. They may be setting the stage to wheel the poor man off the international stage and to bring in Kamala Harris. And once she is brought in, it will then become officially impossible to criticize her or any of the policies of the out-of-control federal government without being labeled a racist and a sexist and all the other nasty terms they'll throw out.
Many would argue, Alex, that was the thinking from day one, is that this transition would take place.
Oh, clearly. I mean, the powers that be, the very influential figures in Washington, D.C. and in New York and in California that were stage managing this whole process, they knew that Biden wasn't going to last 4 years. I mean, the media was bending over backwards trying to conceal this from the American people. But and it's interesting that they chose Kamala Harris. She is literally one of the most unpopular figures in politics today, even in her own party. She has virtually no actual support. She slept her way to the top of the political ladder, starting with, you know, the mayor of San Francisco, the speaker of the assembly in California. And now we're in this situation where she is very likely going to be assuming the role of president of the United States, potentially in the not too distant future. And we know that she comes from a family of very, very radical ideologues. She was raised in an environment that was very radically anti-American, anti-Christian principles that America was founded on. There are very serious questions about whether she's even actually qualified as per our Constitution to hold that office. She has to be a natural-born citizen. Neither of her parents was a citizen when she was born. So this is a crisis of the highest order, Jim, one of many. And I really think Americans are finally starting to realize that the future of our republic is hanging by a thread.
Alex Newman, our guest here today in Crosstalk. As you know, Alex, President Biden, he promised that he would leave no one behind. Do we know how many Americans are left behind?
Hundreds, probably thousands. We're learning about more Americans who've been left behind every moment. I just saw now hundreds of employees of Voice of America. It's kind of a propaganda service that the U.S. government operates, are still trapped in Afghanistan today. Fortunately, some former special operators are in there doing what they can to rescue these people. But it's very interesting. They seem to be prioritizing getting tens of thousands of Afghans here to the United States while Americans are being left behind, and basically the government's washing their hands of them.
Are there obligations for the U.S. to regarding nationals who are assisting us that were left behind?
That's a good question. In terms of Afghans who helped the U.S. war effort, I'd start off by saying I don't believe that was a wise choice for a number of reasons. The U.S. government has a long history of betraying the people who, I mean, Vietnam was a very obvious example that comes to mind, the Bay of Pigs, of course, and it's just been over and over and over again where the U.S. government has betrayed people who sided with it, people who believed in it. Jonas Savimbi in Angola actually explained that he was a freedom fighter trying to hold back the communists in his country. He says, better to be an enemy of America than a friend of America, because if you're a friend of America, you're going to be sold to America's enemies. If you're an enemy, at least you'll be bought. So this has been a very clear pattern going back a long time. And there's also some very serious questions about, you know, what was the objective? Right, we saw the U.S. Embassy in Kabul tweeted out very recently a big picture of a pride flag, you know, the homosexual pro-sodomy symbol, really mocking, appropriating a symbol that God used as a promise to promote sodomy and wickedness. And what business is it of the U.S. Embassy in Kabul to be promoting homosexuality, to be promoting sodomy in a nation where, you know, 99.8% of the population thinks that ought to be a capital offense? Why in the world would we be doing that? And what kind of message does that send to the people of Afghanistan? You want to win hearts and minds? It's unbelievable. So I'll start off by saying I don't think it was wise to help the U.S. government, but the U.S. government came in there with a lot of money. And I will add to that, I do think we have some sort of obligation. You know, these people, just as a decent, moral people, we've got to do something. I think they should be resettled probably in other Middle Eastern nations with our assistance, but it's a tragedy.
Alex Newman, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Folks, we've got so much information yet to come. Stay with us through the broadcast here today. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what kind of life lives in the deep ocean?
Chris, we're just now beginning to explore the deep ocean. Recently, a very exotic form of life was discovered around seafloor vents, where superheated water bubbles out from the interior of the earth into the cold oceans. There's no light down there, but submarines have discovered much life around these vents. Evolutionists are quick to point out that this must be the kind of life that was the original life billions of years ago, but not so fast. Recent research projects have shown that these pods of life around the seafloor vents are not old in any sense. They may be only a few thousand years old, not billions as required by evolution. And they certainly didn't spring to life from non-living chemicals. If it's living, God created it, and He did so back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on BCY America. Our topic today, the Afghanistan exit catastrophe. Alex Newman is our guest. He writes for The New American. And Alex, I understand, also founder of Liberty Sentinel, you've got a couple of websites you can give to our listeners to stay abreast on these and so many other topics.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jim. I'd encourage people to get over to thenewamerican.com. I'm the senior editor there, foreign correspondent. If you have been reading The New American for the last 10 or 12 years, none of what's happening would be a surprise to you. In fact, in 2014, I wrote an article called As U.S. Prepares to Leave Afghanistan, China Prepares to Go In, and we predicted exactly what is happening there right now. So go to thenewamerican.com. You can sign up for the free daily headlines, or you can even subscribe to the print magazine. My personal website is libertysentinel.org. I'm also a regular contributor for the Epoch Times and many other publications. And then I'm the executive director of Public School Exit, where we work with pastors and parents to try to get children out of public schools.
Alex, I find it interesting that as people were left behind, we were just talking about that in the last segment, there was a chartered flight, though, that went with the assistance of the UK military. It was a rescue mission, and they were airlifting dogs and cats. I mean, BBC just reported that Heathrow Airport Sunday, 90 to 100 dogs and 60 to 70 cats were rescued. It was dubbed Operation Ark. Staff members left behind, but they got the dogs and cats.
And, you know, I think it's just a perfect illustration of where Western society is now, right? I mean, we teach this to our children in public schools that your goldfish and the life of your goldfish or your cat has just as much meaning and importance as yours. You're just, you came from a piece of slime and you evolved and there is no real meaning in life. And so why shouldn't cats be more important than human beings?
Well, we lost a number, tragic loss of service members in the suicide bomb, and there are some reports that have come out that the Department of Defense knew who the bomber was ahead of time, where it would occur. I reported that the Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby is refusing to answer questions about it. Is there any truth to that account, or is it just rumor?
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, the U.S. government's intelligence apparatus is massive. It is comprehensive. If you look at the capabilities of the NSA, they can intercept virtually any communication on planet Earth. So if they didn't know about it, it would be incompetence. And we've seen that historically, that the U.S. government has known about things and has allowed things to happen that might be convenient. So it's very hard to know in this specific example, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. So.
How tragic it was to see the flag-draped coffins of our service members returning home. While they're, according to reports, the president was regularly checking his watch. Hurting families were well aware of that, Alex, here, and it's just so tragic to see these coffins returning home in that fashion.
It is. Imagine being one of the family members of the 2,000-plus Americans who've lost their lives in this tragedy, this atrocity that took place in Afghanistan. Imagine being one of the service members who lost a limb, who lost a friend who was over there. And you know, they came home, and what was the purpose? So that the Taliban could have $85 billion of new military equipment. It says they could sign more deals with the communist Chinese so that they could get all the lithium, and so we could squander $6.5 trillion and have our great-great-grandchildren trying to pay interest on that to Beijing. It's such an outrage, Jim, and I feel so much sympathy for our brave soldiers who have really, literally signed up to put their lives on the line for our country and then have been betrayed so badly, so brutally by the leadership in Washington, D.C.
And some of these family members of fallen service members, I mean, some refused to meet with the president. I mean, others were right in his face, we understand, very direct with him as he met with these Gold Star families.
Yeah, and really, that's almost adding insult to injury. It's, you know, I can't even imagine what must be going through their minds. And I hope the American people will be in prayer for all of these families. I mean, the amount of suffering that they must be going through right now is just incomprehensible. And then, you know, these people in Washington, D.C., they just keep spitting on our faces and telling us it's raining.
Yes, and, you know, there's many aspects to this, too, and I want to talk about the some of those airlifted as well. I saw an article in Jihad Watch that a Muslim who the U.S. airlifted out of Afghanistan, he's got potential ties to ISIS. I understand also we're just sending over blank visa registration forms here. I mean, I saw another story where a convicted rapist previously deported ended up boarding one of these evacuation flights.
Yes, and we're going to have thousands of those, Jim. Anybody who tells you otherwise doesn't know what they're talking about. You know, Afghanistan has a mainstream culture, and actually the Pew Research, to their credit, has come out with some research surveys and some studies on the views of the Afghan population. People would be shocked. The overwhelming majority believes that suicide bombing is an appropriate action to take. The overwhelming majority believes that you ought to be put to death for leaving Islam. One of the things that I think I find most grotesque about this culture is what's known as Bahabazi. And we reported on this extensively in the New American in the context of our soldiers. Our soldiers are over there training and giving weaponry to individuals who, right in front of our servicemen, are forcing little 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old boys to do these dances and then raping them. And our soldiers and our officers were instructed by their commands not to interfere, that this is a cultural practice that is common in Afghanistan and that they have no right to intervene in this. I can't think of anything more outrageous than that. And yet this is the culture that we are now going to be importing in massive numbers to the United States. And that's not to say that everybody who may be on one of those planes to the United States is going to be a bad individual or is going to blow themselves up. But I believe this was engineered, and we've seen in Europe. You know, I spent most of the last 15, 20 years living in Europe, and I watched what happens when large numbers of Afghans come into a country. They come, again, from a very different culture, a culture that really does not know Christ at all. Mm-hmm. The last church in Afghanistan was demolished under the government that the United States stood up in the early 2000s. They literally have no inkling of the light of Christ. And so to import them here, you know, I have no doubt that God will use this for good. Many of them will come here and they'll meet the Lord, and hopefully one day they'll go back to Afghanistan and share the gospel. But the idea that we, at taxpayer expense, should be importing tens of thousands of people from this culture into the United States, to me, is incomprehensible. And really, I think it is evidence that the elites in Washington do not have our best interest at heart.
Well, as we talked about the Americans left behind, we also left behind, as you referred to, the billions of dollars of equipment. But we saw the Taliban fighters taking to the streets of Kabul after that last evacuation flight, lighting off fireworks. It's also reported that the Taliban had a military parade with all the U.S. equipment. I mean, billions and billions of dollars in equipment. I'm looking at a list here that was from Pamela Geller, and she has Taliban's new arsenal. Equipment left behind is Humvees, 22,174, M-117, 1117, 634, the 155 Mix Pros, these mine-proof vehicles, 169 armored personnel carriers, 42,000 pickup trucks and SUVs, 64,363 machine guns, 8,000 trucks, 162,043 radios, 16,035 night vision goggles, 358,530 assault rifles, 126,295 pistols, and 176 artillery pieces that we left behind, Alex. They're touting them. They're holding the parades. And then I see on Israel National News that the Taliban is giving some of these U.S. tanks and military equipment to Iran.
Yeah, there's no surprise here at all, Jim, and there's nothing new under the sun. The U.S. government has a century-long history of doing exactly what we just saw in Afghanistan. One of the most obvious examples is how the U.S. government armed the Soviet Union. If people want to really be blown away, read Major Jordan's diaries. This is a man who was involved in Operation Lend-Lease, who was shipping American material, food, weapons, even nuclear secrets to the Soviet Union using American planes through the American military. We have been arming the enemies of the United States and, by the way, the enemies of Christ and of God's people for over a century. They have harnessed the American people's economic might, they've harnessed the American people's military might, and they have used it for horrific wickedness all over the world. And this is just the latest example of that. And you can bet that all these weapons that we left behind, they're going to be turning up at crime scenes and at terrorist attacks and in invasions of our allies for decades to come.
I understand former President Trump, he's warning that we should be forcing the Taliban to surrender this equipment or we're going to start bombing over there.
Yeah, and that would be nice. I don't see how that would be possible at this point. It's just they did this on purpose. There was no reason to abandon Bagram Air Force Base with all of that equipment in the dead of night. I mean, in a very worst case scenario, you blow the stuff up, right? You put some bombs in the helicopters, at least to make sure that they don't fall into the hands of barbarians who are determined to rape and enslave and kill and pillage. But that's not what they did. They left it there with the keys in it.
Yeah, and I saw, too, it's been reported that the Taliban now has more Black Hawk helicopters than Australia does. I mean, it's
That's right.
crazy.
Their air force is bigger than one-third of NATO's air force.
Not only that, but we left behind tons of cash. I don't know why that cash was there, but stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of $100 bills. You've seen the video footage of that. It is just shocking. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of stacks of $100 bills.
Yeah, that's right. Pallets full of $100 bills wrapped up in neat little plastic bunches. And this is par for the course. In fact, one of the things that was going on in Afghanistan that many of our troops complained about is that they were literally paying the Taliban protection money so that they wouldn't bomb the roads or shoot the convoys that were driving down the roads in Afghanistan. They'd give them a bunch of money. So now they got all the money. Now they don't even have to pretend to provide protection. And you can bet that that money will be used to persecute Christians, to terrorize Americans, not just in Afghanistan, but around the world. It's a disaster, and we're only beginning to see the fruit of this.
Well, according to the transcript, President Biden knew what was unfolding. And at the same time, I understand what Secretary of State Blinken is vacationing in the Hamptons.
Yep, and that's also very typical. I mean, Biden was hanging out at Camp David, nowhere to be found, while U.S. allies are frantically trying to figure out what in the world is going on in Afghanistan. It's very, very typical of what we're seeing from this administration. But again, I think the key thing to remember about all this, Jim, is that this was choreographed, this was engineered. The people in Washington, the people who are handling Joe Biden and putting the words on his teleprompter, they are not idiots. They know very well what they were doing. This was strategic, and it fits right into the broader plan to unseat America, to unseat the U.S. dollar, and to build up what they're describing as the multipolar world order. And as we look back in the future, when we look back at this moment, it's going to be a defining moment when it became clear to the whole world America was no longer the world's sole superpower. China is going to be presented as the responsible player here who's going to have to go in and clean up the mess that the idiot Americans left. And this is all being carefully choreographed.
And while this is going on, while all Americans' eyes are on this, there are other things going on behind the scenes, Alex. For instance, John Kerry is traveling to China right now, and he is there to, in essence, to end our suicide pact and cooperate together on climate change, pushing a climate change agenda while this is unfolding with Afghanistan.
It boggles the mind. And again, we see the same exact pattern when it comes to the climate negotiations. This is something that I've written on extensively. I've been going to these UN climate summits for well over a decade. And what the administration in Washington means, and this very much includes John Kerry, when they talk about climate negotiations with China, we saw this, so you don't have to speculate. Obama signed a deal with Xi Jinping on climate, and then they came up with this Paris Agreement. And if you read the text of it, if you look at what this actually does, it destroys the American economy, it shreds our energy industry, it ships our productive capacity overseas, while China continues building coal-fired power plants faster than we can even count them and keep track of them by design.
Ladies and gentlemen, evil never sleeps. Evil never sleeps. We'll be back with more discussion after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Throughout history, most nations have been ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person, however, often rewards his friends and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king the planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. So how do republics rise and fall? How do countries succumb to communist dictators? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America?, written by William Federer. You'll discover what makes America unique and the keys to preserving our freedoms. Who is the King in America is available for a donation of $18. A DVD of Bill's teaching on the same topic is also available for $18, or if you'd like them both, a donation of just $30. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
The program is called Crosstalk. It comes your way each weekday here on the VCY American Network. With us is Alex Newman. He is senior editor for The New American, their website, thenewamerican.com. Friends, you'll find stories there that you will not get from any other source, thenewamericanweb.com, and Alex's website as well, libertysentinel.org. Alex, we were just talking about China. John Kerry heading over there to promote the climate change agenda, have this agreement with China, though it's really unilateral, with the U.S. surrendering all, everything here and putting it in the banks of China as far as their ability to dominate the world on so many different fronts. You and I just did a program on that growing influence of China. But how, when we take a look at what's going on with Afghanistan right now, how will China be the beneficiary of what's taking place right now?
Well, China is going to be the number one winner by far, China and the Taliban. And we see this alliance already. In fact, like I said earlier, we warned about this in 2014 in the New American magazine. I hope people will go back and read that article. No, we did not have a crystal ball. No, we're not clairvoyant. It was just very obvious from what was happening already. But the Taliban have already announced, their spokesman had a press conference. He spoke with the South China Morning Post and said, look, we're so proud to be good friends with China. They're going to be a constructive partner in rebuilding Afghanistan. And, we're going to make business deals. So the Chinese are coming in. They've been doing this for a long time. They've been buying up the mineral resources, the mining. And now there's even talk that they might have to lead a UN peacekeeping mission into China to clean up the mess that the United States left behind. So what's going to happen here, and what already is happening here, is the U.S. is now has paid $6.5 trillion when you factor in the medical care that we're going to have to provide to the veterans, when you factor in the interest that we're going to have to pay on the money that we borrowed from China to wage this so-called war. And, what was the objective? Nobody even knows anymore. So China will be collecting interest. They'll be making massive business deals. They'll be connecting Afghanistan into the One Belt, One Road initiative. Basically, during the Roman Empire, all roads led to Rome. During the new system that they're building, all roads will lead to Beijing. And they're going to acquire Afghanistan's lithium deposits, probably the largest in the world. When you look at what Biden and others are doing to the U.S. economy, they're trying to force us to drive these so-called electric cars, these green vehicles. They want to turn everything into this green technology. Well, who's going to control all the resources?
China.
A lot of them are going to come from China and Afghanistan. That's exactly right. And at the superficial level, you think, well, why would Islamist jihadists make an alliance with communist China that at the very same time is literally re-educating in concentration camps over a million Muslims in what they call Western China and what the Muslims call East Turkestan, the Uyghurs in the Shanxing region? Why would they have this alliance? Well, the answer, I think, is very, very simple. It's part of this multipolar world order, and on a spiritual level, and this has befuddled people for a very long time. Why is it that we see so often an alliance between Islamists and communists? In Iran, it's a perfect example. Red jihadists, right? I mean, revolutionary Islamists. So where does this come from? And I think the answer, very simply, is that they have a common enemy, and that common enemy is Christ and God's people. And when I said this on the radio the other day, and a Muslim called in and said, how can you say that? You must not know anything about Islam. We love Jesus too. And I said, no. Look, you have a very different Jesus than we do. Your Jesus is going to come back and kill all the Christians. That's not the Christ that we worship. That's not the Creator that came and died on a cross for our sins. So I think when you look at and Donald Trump knew about this. His director of policy and planning at the National Security Council wrote him a memo warning about this, that the deep state, you had an alliance of globalists, communists, and Islamists, and they were all dedicated to the destruction of the United States, not just as a nation, but even as an ideal. The idea, the biblical principles that our founders believed in, that God had created us, that the purpose of government was to punish evil, or said another way, to protect our rights to life, our right to property, etc. They want to destroy that. And so that is what explains the alliance between Islamic jihadists like the Taliban and mass murdering communists like the ones ruling communist China.
And this has given that new energy to China as well, just a resurgence of energy as they see the debacle of the United States here, the catastrophe really that's unfolded with Afghanistan. And as I believe you were with us last time, we pointed out that where they're saying, now look, Taiwan, you think the U.S. is going to come to your aid? We understand, Alex, that with this chip shortage around the world, not only did they call the loan on the largest chip manufacturer in the UK here recently, but now also Taiwan has a major chip making factory there as well. And if China takes control over Taiwan, that's going to have huge ramifications for the entire world, including our total economy and way of life here in the U.S.
That's right. And that may well be the next step here. What happened in Afghanistan was a clear message to everybody on the planet, to every government in the world. If the United States comes to you and tries to do deals, you know they can't be trusted. You know they'll leave their own people to die. But China, look, China is a responsible player. You can make deals with China. You can make money with China. We're not going to come in there and fly, LGBT pride parades from your flags on the embassies in your capital city. And governments all over the world, including longtime stalwart allies of the United States, are going to say, you know what? We're done. We're going to hitch our wagon to China. We don't want anything more to do with this crazy superpower, former superpower in decline called the United States of America.
And the other issue, again, and we could talk about so many matters, but with all eyes on Afghanistan right now, we have to also take a look at what's going on in North Korea. We understand that this new report from the International Atomic Energy Agency is saying that North Korea appears to have restarted a nuclear reactor capable of producing plutonium for nuclear weapons. Alex?
And again, this was done, again, at every step of the way with the assistance of what we call the deep state, the elites in Washington, D.C., and New York, and London, and Berlin, and Paris. There's no question about it. I documented extensively. I did a cover story in The New American called North Korea, Globalist Pawn. And as you read it, you'll find that the U.N. gave them the technology. The U.S. government gave them the subsidies to do this kind of stuff. I mean, the U.N. literally went in there and built microchip factories in North Korea so they could put microchips in their missiles and in their tanks. Okay, this is how bad it has gotten. And that was by design, too. It's flabbergasting once you see what the elites in Washington, D.C. have done. But the evidence is all there for anybody who wants to look.
We also look at this designing of a government going on in Afghanistan. And, Alex, it appears that they're going to follow the model of Iran and have this supreme leader of Afghanistan, like there's a supreme leader of Iran as well.
That's right. Yep. They're in the process right now of building the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. And it's going to be very brutal. It will take women and treat them as not just second class citizens, but as worse than property. I mean, cattle might be better off than women. You'll see just unthinkable things. You will see Christians brutally targeted for extermination, missionaries hunted down like dogs and murdered. And, you can thank the U.S. government for handing over the weapons supply that made all of this possible.
Our phone number to Crosstalk today is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Alex, it seems that just surfacing during this time was a new group called ISIS-K. Now, people have heard of ISIS. They've heard of the Taliban. They've heard of Al-Qaeda. What about this ISIS-K?
Well, the ISIS-K is interesting. It's supposed to be, an offshoot of ISIS. But I think the real important thing for everybody to understand about ISIS was revealed by the U.S. government itself. In 2012, the Defense Intelligence Agency produced a memo, incidentally under the leadership of Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, who went on to be Trump's National Security Advisor. And what they said was, look, the U.S. government and other Western powers and the Sunni Arab dictatorships on the Arabian Peninsula are supporting the revolution in Syria. And we all knew that. Everybody knew that. And then they went on to say in the same memo that this revolution is being led by Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood. And then they took it a step further. They said one of the goals of the powers supporting the revolution, which again was led by Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood by their own admission, was to create what they describe as a Salafist principality in eastern Syria. And they got it. We called it the Islamic State, or ISIS. This is a pattern. During the Obama administration, we literally backed al-Qaeda, the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, which the U.S. military identified in 2007 as al-Qaeda's affiliate in Libya. So basically what happened during the Obama administration is the U.S. government kind of, quote-unquote, switched sides in the terror war, to quote a number of generals and others who came together to speak out against this. They allied with Islamic extremists. So ISIS is not what people think it is. When President Donald Trump on the 2016 campaign trail said Obama and Hillary Clinton founded ISIS, and the media laughed and they said, oh, my goodness, what a lunatic. How could he ever say something so dumb? They laughed for a few days, and then Donald Trump tweeted out that document that I just mentioned from the Defense Intelligence Agency, and we didn't hear another peep about it because ISIS was created with the help and support not just of American allies, as Joe Biden admitted in a speech at Harvard, and you can still find that on YouTube, but also with the direct assistance of the U.S. government.
My, my. Friends, time is going quickly here. Much to talk about, but we want you to have some interaction as well. Our number, 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Phoenix, Arizona. Houston, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Mr. Newman if he noticed the plane that they showed us on TV or on the media of with all the Afghans running by it looked like it had painted on windows, and it looked completely fake. There was no engine in the turbine. I just wanted to know if you noticed that or have any comments about that.
Thank you for the call. I did not notice that, but that is very typical of the way things are orchestrated for American television cameras. So I can't comment on that specific incident. I didn't see it. But so much of what the American people and people around the world are presented on television as reality is, in fact, literally stage managed.
Thank you for the call here. And we did, of course, see the plane rolling down the runway at the time. We also saw what appeared to be bodies falling from planes that were up on landing gear, things of that nature. Horrendous scenes there. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Since Kamala Harris goes to places like Guatemala and Vietnam, do you think it's a deliberate attempt to keep her in the shadows so that she can't be accused of actually doing anything wrong or controversial, so that it kind of keeps her off base, so to say, and ultimately make it easier for her to replace Biden if, in fact, that's the actual game plan?
I can't say for sure, but I can say that's an entirely realistic possibility. She may come in and wash her hands. And, you know, if you look at the polling data now, an enormous number of Americans, including about a third of Democrats, think Joe Biden needs to resign as a result of this Afghanistan fiasco. And you notice Kamala Harris's fingerprints are not really on this, at least not as far as the media is concerned. So she could easily step in and say, look, you know, Joe Biden made some really, really big mistakes, but we're going to turn the corner. We're going to do things better. The media will paint her as the superhero who's going to come in and clean up the mess that Joe Biden left behind. And, you know, I think people need to realize that the reality that you see on the television is not real. It's stage managed by very powerful individuals. And the scenario that you just described regarding Kamala Harris, I think, is entirely plausible. And I think we may well see, potentially even in the next few weeks or months, an effort to sideline Joe Biden and bring in Harris.
Wow. Thank you, Mark, for the call. We are up against a break. Alex Newman with us today again. Check out the website, thenewamerican.com. You'll find a ton of articles there on very current events and issues that are going on. It's a perspective you'll not gain from the mainstream media. That's thenewamerican.com and also Alex's site, libertysentinel.org. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreports.com. Have you ever heard of the Council on Foreign Relations? An organization started many, many, many decades ago, and one of their goals is globalism, the destruction of national sovereignty. And one of their enemies are Christians, because Christians understand that God draws the borders of nations. God decides where you're born, and God is opposed to globalism. That's why he did what he did at the Tower of Babel, Genesis 10 and 11, and confused their language so they couldn't have a one-world government and a one-world religious and political system. Well, recently the Council on Foreign Relations interviewed Ed Stetzer. who has supposedly all these great evangelical Bible-believing resume points. But they used him to try to discredit, I believe, many conservative evangelical Christians. I warned about this in my book, Religious Trojan Horse and the Coming Religious Right, that Christians would be marginalized, characterized, vilified, then the vilifying would be legalized. The persecution is being set up from the right and the left.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman is with us here today, and we're talking about the Afghanistan exit catastrophe. We're going right back to the phone lines here. We have got Jim calling in from Wisconsin. Jim, you're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for this program. Anyway, I got a point to make and then a question to ask. First of all, I live about 45 miles from Fort McCoy, so I've been, as soon as I heard that these Afghanis were being flown to this area, I was on the phone with my legislators trying to get some answers about the vetting process, and I never really got a good answer. So anyway, if you want to speak on that. And then also, I wanted to ask, is there any clear, to me, the actions of these individuals with Joe Biden on down, with what they've been doing, to me it's a clear examples of treason. Is there any provisions to say this is treason, you know, in our laws, and this is how you move forward with charging these individuals of treason and punishing them, removing them from office or whatever.
Okay, so thank you for the call. Two issues. So we got the treason aspect and also the Fort McCoy and those that are being housed there.
Yeah, thank you for the call. And I understand that these Afghan refugees are actually being flown to military bases all across the United States. A lot of them are flying in to Dulles Airport, just outside of Washington, D.C. I understand they're bringing tens of thousands of them in, and by the time this is all over, we may be talking about hundreds of thousands. And, again, this is very deliberate. This is very strategic. I don't know what can be done to stop it. Unfortunately, some Republican governors are even begging for these so-called refugees to be settled there, and it would be far cheaper and far more sensible and far more to their liking, I would submit to you, to submit to resettle these individuals in other Islamic countries. I mean, they come from one of the most conservative Islamic societies on the planet. They would feel much better in another Arab country where women cover themselves and so on, in another Muslim country rather than here in the United States. But there's a reason they're being brought here. It's part of the fundamental transformation of America that Obama talked about. The treason aspect, our laws are crystal clear. One of the main definitions of treason is giving aid and comfort to the enemies of the United States during a time of war. Now, Congress didn't officially declare war. They haven't declared war since World War II. But if you ask any American, they say, yeah, we were at war in Afghanistan. And if you ask them who we were at war against, they'd say we were at war against the Taliban. Anybody who gave $85 billion worth of heavy military equipment to the declared enemy of the United States during a war would, I think, be guilty by definition of treason. But we have to go back even further. Before the break, I was talking about ISIS and the fact that we have smoking gun documents from the U.S. government itself showing us that they knew they were supporting al-Qaeda, they were supporting a revolution led by al-Qaeda. They've talked about this on television. They've talked about this in congressional hearings, that they were knowingly supporting al-Qaeda in the creation of what eventually became ISIS. So I think we need to go back much further than that. Treason is a very important crime. It's important that we have it defined in our books. And I think at this point it has become crystal clear that enormous numbers of individuals at the highest levels of government in the United States have been involved in treason. And frankly, I think unless they are put on trial, unless they're given a fair trial and held accountable for their crimes, we can expect to see much more of it until the United States is reduced to basically ruins. So,
Jim, thank you for the call here. Very troubling indeed. Let's go to Greg in Tucson, Arizona. You're on the air, Greg.
Thank you so much. God bless you both. And thank you for your fealty to the truth. I just want to make two quick points. Number one, our foreign policy failures in Afghanistan go way, way back. George Bush, you know, when he required Afghans to write a constitution, he ensconced Sharia law into that constitution. And point number two, you may recall the murder of Lance Corporal Gregory Buckley, who was training Afghan police, and he contacted his father in the States and said, they're going to kill me because they hate us. And because of the rules of engagement, he had to put his gun away at night, and they came in and murdered him in the gymnasium. So our failures go back a lot. That was under Barack Obama, by the way.
Right.
So,
Alex, you want to comment on those issues?
Yeah, there are so many issues like that. They need to be addressed. As long as we allow these people to do these types of things and get away unpunished, we will get more and more of it. And there's one more individual who played a key role in all of this. And you're right, it really goes all the way back to Bush. I mean, if we want to start assigning blame for the fiasco in Afghanistan, I do think we have to go straight back to George W. Bush. Where did he get the idea that we were going to reconstruct and reform Afghanistan with the U.S. military? Where did he believe he got the constitutional authority to do that? So I do believe we need to go back in time a long way. And we need to go way back before that, right? Who were the people who helped the communists take over in nation after nation? They have names. They have addresses. A lot of them are still around today, and they ought to be held accountable as well. There's one more individual that I think is important to mention in all of this while we're talking about who may be responsible. His name is Zalmay Khalilzad, and he is from Afghanistan originally. He has served at the highest levels of the U.S. government in multiple administrations. He also served as U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan, and he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, Hillary Clinton famously said that the Council on Foreign Relations is who tells her what she should be doing right. and how she should be thinking about the future. So when we start naming names and when people start being held accountable, if that day ever comes, I think that is one of the areas where we have to look, and the light needs to be shined on there.
Friends, we're less than 60 seconds, so we're not able to take any more phone calls today. We apologize to those yet on hold. I do want to also share with you some hope. Psalm 37 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." We also see in verse 7, "Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." And to verse 12, "The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. But their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken." Much more in that Psalm 37, but Alex, God's in control.
Amen. And I encourage people, always remember, Christ is victorious. You're on the winning team if you are one of God's adopted children. God bless you all. Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
And thank you, Alex. Alex Newman, you can check out many, many articles on Afghanistan and other related issues and things pertaining to COVID and so much more at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. Folks, stay in prayer. Stay true in your walk with the Lord. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.